Amen, amen. Powerful worship this morning. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you that we can gather in this place. We thank you for music. We thank you that we can experience your presence in that way, singing together, experiencing music together, God, as your spirit draws us into your presence. Father, we thank you for that incredible gift. And as we talk about those things through this Christmas season and what it means for us to have that, how that all came about, God, we just thank you for this chance to be encouraged together, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I wasn't going to start here, but we're going to start here. Let's turn to John chapter 1 this morning. Because, I mean, in a sermon, starting with the Bible right off the bat is probably a good idea, right? How wrong can we go then? John chapter 1, really wrong. Really, if we're honest. Everybody's heard a bad sermon before. It doesn't matter if you start with the Bible or not. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5, and then verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And then verse 14, the Word, this Word that spoke these things into existence, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Amazing. Amazing. I love Christmas. And I always get so excited for this time of year for all kinds of reasons, but ultimately because of this passage, because of what we're actually talking about, the creator of the universe becoming human. I don't know about you, but to me, that just blows my mind every time I think about it. I don't understand that. This thing that spoke existence into existence was born as a human baby, and I don't know what to do with that. I don't know how to process it. I mean, we come here every week and we talk about this stuff every week. We talk about God, we talk about Jesus, we talk about the Spirit, we talk about living in that reality, and especially this time of year, we talk about him being a baby and shepherds and a manger, and we kind of squish it all down to this quaint kind of Christmas card image. But I mean, come on. We cannot pretend that it's normal, that it actually makes sense. What we're talking about, what happened, it's crazy. It's incredible. It's almost impossible. And it is, outside of creation itself, probably the most incredible thing to have ever happened in the history of the universe. This passage, the Word became flesh and lived with us. Unbelievable. Whatever that means, whatever that, how we understand that, the incarnation, God made flesh. Man, that gets me excited this time of year as we celebrate that together. And the whole world gets dressed up. I love that. Whether they know or acknowledge what they're celebrating or not, this is Christmas time. And I love that they get dressed up for us. I appreciate it. That the city of Leduc puts decorations everywhere for the winter solstice, or whatever they want to call it, holiday season. Jesus was born, man. And the whole world is celebrating. It's so, so cool. Christmas for me is a time just filled with amazing memories, too. I was very fortunate growing up. I had all of my grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles and cousins and extended family were all within about an hour's drive of each other. And so we got together lots of times throughout the year, but holidays in particular, we made a point of getting together, and they were always just huge family functions of life and energy and food. I mean, we're all German background, so there was more food than we knew what to do with ever. But we enjoyed being together. And I remember, I don't even remember which Christmas it was specifically, but it was at my grandparents' acreage. And I remember being in the basement, and I was probably maybe 9 or 10 years old, and I got a remote control monster truck for Christmas. It was amazing. Oh, man. It was so cool. But I remember my grandpa recording this, us opening gifts on this big, like, shoulder-mounted VHS camcorder. It looked like a bazooka, and it took video about as well as one. It was incredible. That one image sticks out in my mind, and the whole family was there, and all of our cousins and aunts and uncles, everybody was there, and it was really special. Christmas to me is a time filled with memories like that, and it's cool because it is a celebration. It's this weird moment. Again, our world thinks all kinds of things and does all kinds of things, but somehow this season, regardless of how they view it, there's this genuine effort to come together and live the angel's words, peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Somehow in this season, there's an effort to do that, whether they believe it or not or even know it or not. There's that sense of communal joy and presence together, a desire for that, if nothing else. And I think that's really cool. We party together. We enjoy food and friends and fellowship and laughter, and we exchange gifts with those that we love and we care about to emulate the Father giving us the greatest, the most incredible gift possible, His own Son. This year, our theme for the Advent season, as we're walking through this together as Leduc Fellowship Church, is Christmas Unwrapped, discovering the true gift of Christmas. And we want to try to understand this gift, to understand what it means, the significance of it, and our place within it. What does it do? What does it mean for us? And so a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Dennis kicked this off for us, and he talked about the sender. He talked about the fact that this incredible and gracious Father chose to initiate this whole gift-giving thing. He chose to be the one to come to us, to reach out to us, to share with us. This one who knows the depth of our hurt and our need for Him so well, who created us for Himself. And so He decides to take it upon Himself to be the sender, to send the first and most important gift, to send hope and life in His Son. And then last week, we had our Christmas program. Our children came and they shared with us the story of the sent, the story of Jesus, the gift Himself, Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, the Messiah. This one who fulfilled more than 300 Old Testament prophecies, coming and being everything that we needed Him to be, who preached and taught incredible things. Things that had people absolutely dumbfounded. He performed miracles and healings. He transformed people's lives in just a few short years. He transformed the whole world. And through His life, He would display just how incredible God is and how badly we need Him. And then He provided us the ultimate gift that we'll be celebrating and remembering later this morning as He sacrificed His own life for us. Amazing. This week, we want to look at the recipients of that gift. We want to look at us, His children, His creation. What does the true gift of Christmas mean for us? And the answer kind of comes out of three questions. Who are we? Where were we when that gift came? And what is He? What is this gift? What does it actually mean? What does it do? So the first question in that, who are we? What does it mean for us to be God's children? Well, we are created in the image of God. Genesis 1:27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And what does that mean? Well, God doesn't have 10 fingers and toes and things like that. But there's something about what we are that is God. That God is shared, that God shared with us a piece of himself, maybe his creativity or intelligence or emotional capacity or something. But there's a connection between us and God that nothing else in creation has. We are unique. We are special. And when he created us, after everything else, he said, it is good. It is good. When he created us, he said, it is very good. There's something different about us. We were made for him. We were made to be with him. We were made to connect with him in a way that nothing else can. And that is incredible. There's a piece of the story in Genesis chapter 3 where it talks about how God would walk with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. Imagine that. It says that they were naked and unashamed. Completely exposed in every way, physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally. Absolutely exposed to one another and to their father, walking together in the cool of the day, in that intimate moment. Can you imagine that experience? I honestly don't know if I can. I don't know if we can really understand what that looks like. But that's what we are. That's who we are. Who we were created to be. To walk with God in the cool of the day. Just to enjoy his presence and the presence of one another. It's mind-blowing. It's incredible. Adam and his wife were both naked and they felt no shame. Who are we? God's special creation, unique, incredible, loved. That depth of love, the intimacy of that love, it's unreal. But what happened? We know the story. We fell. We chose. How do you choose that? Walking with God in the cool of the day, in that intimacy, in that love, in that experience. But we chose somehow to step away from that. We said, no, we can be more. We can be more than that. We deserve to be more than that. And so we chose selfishness. And what happened? That experience, what's the first thing? They go, Adam and Eve, they go and they hide because they're ashamed. They know that now that they're naked. And for some reason, they understood they were naked before, exposed. But something shifted where all of a sudden that wasn't okay. Or they were ashamed, they were afraid. And we became lost. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 6 to 10, he tells us this story where God was walking. He came to find them after they had chosen to step away. And he's walking through the garden, calling out to them. And eventually he finds them and Adam says to him, I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked. So I hid. How dramatic of a shift from being excited to just walk in the presence of God, to be with him, to enjoy being with him, to suddenly being afraid of him, to be ashamed to be with him, to hide from him, from our Creator, from the one who loves us more than anything else. Where were we hiding? Broken. And from that fear and shame, oh man, from that fear and shame and sin came selfishness. And it led us into something that I don't know if Adam and Eve could have even imagined. Shortly after that, we had the first murder born out of hate and fear and jealousy. We sought and fought to overcome our nakedness with wealth and power and comfort and security and that vulnerability that existed with others. That complete connection that we had with other human beings and with God was replaced with fear and competition and violence. And the whole of human history is painted with that dark brush. From family squabbles and sibling rivalries all the way to the march of nations against one another for resources or perceived offense. Or just because they're different from us. We go from being so the same, so connected, to fearing one another and fighting against one another so violently and horribly. Where were we when this gift came? We've sacrificed our own children to gods as terrifying as we could possibly imagine. We've committed every atrocity and violence against one another for every reason and no reason at all. We walked with God in the cool of the day. We are broken and lost. We had no hope in ourselves. The Bible speaks to this reality over and over again in Jeremiah chapter 17. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Isaiah chapter 53. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, and each of us has turned to their own way. There's no unity anymore. No family, no connection that way. Each of us has turned to our own selfish needs and desires. Genesis chapter 6, the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. We walked with him in the cool of the day. Isaiah chapter 64, all of us have become like one who is unclean. And all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. Even the good things, even our efforts at righteousness are so broken. And we used to walk with him in the cool of the day. John chapter 3, everyone who does evil hates the light. Adam suddenly hated the presence of God and hid from it. They will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. We can't even face ourselves. Where were we when this gift came? So lost. So broken. And at one time, one of the greatest and cruelest empires in history spanned almost the entirety of the known world. And they subjugated cultures and races. They tortured foreigners and citizens. And they embodied so completely the futility and brokenness of our sinful fear and pride. They had a ruler who believed himself a god, who tried to embody this very first lie that we believe, that we are more than just human. We are special. We are gods ourselves. And this ruler sought to be that and forced people to worship him as such. And he had a leadership who stripped and exploited the people they ruled for wealth and power. They had a military finely honed to crush any resistance and overwhelm outsiders and expand the borders. It was a machine of unparalleled cruelty and efficiency and wealth and power and corruption. The Roman Empire. And into that scene, into the depth of the thing that represented everything that humanity had become in its sinfulness, into that came Jesus. That's where he was born. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us in the place that represents so clearly everything that we are. Everything we hate about ourselves and try to hide from. He came to his own, his children, his creation, and his own didn't even recognize him. Who is he? Who is this man who is God? In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it tells us this incredible truth. God demonstrates his own love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ was born to us. God didn't wait for us to fix ourselves because he knew it wasn't going to happen. It's not possible. So he came to who we were. He came to where we were. He comes now, today, by his Spirit, to where we are, wherever you are, to meet with you there. He is hope and life for anyone and for everyone. And we will look at the people that he came to first. It paints us an incredible picture of the depth and breadth of God's love. Who received this gift first? A young girl, pregnant out of marriage. A carpenter, an honest, simple, blue-collar worker. The shepherds, the poorest and lowest in that society. The magi. Rich priests and kings from another land and culture who didn't know this person. This gift is for everyone. For anyone. Who is he? He is one who comes to the whole world. Not to special and separate people who fix themselves before he can help them. He came to a world that is lost and broken. And in this picture, in this story that we read every Christmas, it shows us that he came for everyone. For anyone. No matter where you're from, no matter what you've done, no matter who you are, Jesus came to you. He came for you. Men and women, rich and poor, from every tribe and nation and culture, all are welcome. All are offered this incredible gift of life in Jesus. All are welcome to receive it, to accept it. What does it mean to receive this gift? What does it mean to accept it? Oh, man. It's unbelievable. I can't even describe it to you. I can try. You can hardly imagine. And Dennis touched on it a couple of weeks ago in this 33 things that happen at the moment of salvation. And that sounds like a long list to read through. But I'll tell you, the list is even longer than this. And when you read through it, it's not tedious. It gets more and more incredible as you go. There's still some of these on the back table out there, I think. Grab one if you missed it that time. Grab it, read through it. What happens when you accept this gift to us, the recipients? What happens? You receive the gift of Jesus first. You receive everything that God has promised. All the way through his word. And he makes some unbelievable promises. One of my favorites is one that Jesus said. He said, you will do even greater things than I have done. When we accept this gift of salvation, when we accept this gift of his Spirit, we receive every promise that God has made. You are immediately and permanently forgiven of all your sin ever, no matter what you've done, no matter how hard you try to say, but my sin is too bad. I'm too far gone. I'm too lost. What I've done is unforgivable. It isn't. No matter what you've done, you are free from sin, from shame, from guilt. That's what happens when you accept this gift. You are set free to live a life of joy and love and peace and hope. You receive the guarantee of eternal life forever with God. Just like when we walked with him in the cool of the day. To enjoy ultimate, intimate, unbroken relationship with the eternal God of the universe forever. You receive the Holy Spirit and the gifts and the presence of God that he brings into your life. You receive the family of God. Entrance into this incredible community that is here even in this church and stretches back 2,000 years. With all of the amazing people that have been there and the stories of what God has done in their lives to be encouraged by and challenged by, and for you to add your story too. You receive the incredible blessing of being a part of God's mission as he builds his kingdom, to be a part of what he is doing as he spreads his incredible love and gospel with the world. You can be a part of that too if you accept this gift. What is the true gift of Christmas? It's hope. It's life for us who are lost and dying and broken. It's freedom for us who are stuck in shame and guilt and selfishness. It's forgiveness. For all of those things we try so hard to hide, for those pieces of ourselves that we're so afraid of. You're forgiven. You're free in that. It's love. The love of our Father, our Creator, our friend. The only thing we truly need. The only thing we're actually striving for in all of our efforts in so many directions. The one thing we search for our entire lives, God's gift of himself for us to be with us. It's amazing. That's what it means to be the recipient of this gift, to receive what God is offering. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Everything we deserve is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. In this Word who became flesh. In this baby who was born. Hope, life, love for eternity. It's beyond imagining. But that's what we celebrate. At Christmas. That's what we believe actually happened. It's not just a story. It's not something just to kind of make us excited. It's real. It's alive. And you can have it. If you've never accepted that gift after the service, I would encourage you, come talk to me. Talk to Pastor Dennis. Talk to any believer around you. We'd be happy to just walk you through what it can look like to submit your life to Jesus, to accept that, to receive that, no matter where you are, like I said, no matter where you are, no matter what you've done. If you've faded from that path, if you feel like I've been ignoring the reality of that gift, what it means to receive that life, to live in it, talk to someone. Because there's more than you can imagine. Eternity, infinity, they don't end. They don't stop, and God's love is an endless well. And if you feel dry, if you feel like you've slipped away from that, step back in. Embrace it. Choose it. Accept it. It's real. This morning, we're going to celebrate the reality of that as we take communion together. And if you haven't been around with us in the past, you've seen there's crosses around the room. And what we do is, in a moment, I'm going to pray. And we're going to play some music. And as an individual or as a family or with a friend, feel free, as you feel led, to come to one of these tables and take the elements. Pray over them. Accept that gift for the first time if you need to. Accept that gift again if you have to. That sacrifice, the life and death and resurrection of Jesus for you, to give you that eternal life, eternal love, eternal, incredible relationship with God. If you're unable to get to one of those crosses, just raise your hand. Pastor Dennis is going to come around with the elements and bring those to you. But this table isn't just for Leduc Fellowship Church. It's not just for Baptists or anything. If you are a follower of Jesus, you are welcome. Come and join us. Let's pray together. Father God, your story is incredible. Your story is unbelievable. Your story is overwhelming. And this gift that you offer to us of yourself, of your Son, is so difficult for us to understand because we've lived so long in selfishness and fear and hurt. But God, we thank you for the offer of hope and life and love. And God, as we come to the crosses today, I pray that you would remind us of that. God, if we've been slipping away, if we've been falling back into selfishness and shame and guilt, God, remind us that your forgiveness is absolute. It is ultimate and it is eternal. We don't have to live in the past. We don't have to live in our shame and guilt and sin anymore because of what you have done. Help us to accept that reality and to live in it, in the hope and the joy and the life that you offer. Father, I thank you for my friends and family here that we can journey together and encourage one another and pick each other up when we stumble and fall and struggle. And we thank you for this Christmas season that reminds us of the joy that you offer. As we come now, be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Come to the tables as you feel led.